Yo, I took some podcast rest there. Summer couldn't be asked, and you know what? I was okay with it again because I decided I was going to give it a rest for a couple of weeks, and it wasn't a case this time of I didn't just feel it. I purposely chose not to be asked, and it's liberating, I guess, like sleeping naked. Sleeping naked is definitely my go-to bedtime attire, even in winter. Well, sometimes I'll wear socks if my wee toesies are cold. But like last month, it was too hot to think and speak. And I love the heat. It was just a little uncomfortable at times. But don't worry, the old Northern Irish weather has kicked back in and I'm good to go again. Back once again for the Renegade Master D4 Damager. Power to the people. Yeah, I'm gonna stop the rap now. We'll get into the podcast.
Hi, I'm Paul Keenan, and you're about to start developing strength from the inside out with this podcast. I'm a personal trainer and mentor for trainers and coaches. With me, you won't get motivational fluff or hype. You will get a combination of brain science, real client case studies, transformational psychology, action steps, and some woo-woo wisdom, all rolled into one superset. If you're wanting more from your life, to feel better, look better, to heal, perhaps to have more and to be more, then this is the podcast for you. Because you're going to learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally. All from the inside out. Welcome to the Mind Your Muscle Podcast.
Tell me this. Do you ever get sad? SAD, seasonal affective disorder. You've heard of that, right? It's, I guess, normally called out in winter as like this kind of winter depression, inverted commas. People might experience some form of persistent low mood, craving carbs. They might not want to do things they normally do, also known as can't be arsed. They might be irritable at times and lacking energy, wanting to sleep during the day. Like, fuck, I get those things every other week. And I love a daily nap when I can too. By the way, I just like pulled those symptoms off the first Google search I clicked on. Dr. Google strikes again. But it's not called WAD or WAD, because that would be winter affective disorder. It's seasonal. There's four seasons. If you live in Ireland, you can have all four seasons in one day, maybe even twice each. Now, ordinarily, you might not expect to suffer those kind of symptoms in summer, yet I believe we do. We are. I've had to have lots of conversations this summer around clients feeling unmotivated. And it's not something that surprised me because I've been seeing this trend the past few years of my extensive training career. I do a lot of thinking around habits. Maybe not a lot of changing, but a lot of thinking anyway. Around behavior, I do a lot of work around behavior change, I guess. Have done for years. Actually, quite a bit of the old previous career was, in essence, geared towards getting people to change their ways. Or beating them if they didn't. The real carrot and stick method was used there. I'm going to stop short of labeling myself as a behavior change specialist or coach or a happy habit hacker or kicker. It's summer is a habit. Your behaviors over summer, over Christmas, etc. All habits. And summer is a big habit. 8, 12 weeks of a habit. Yes, funny face, summer is a habit. How you approach summer is a habit. What you think about summer is a habit. How you feel about summer is a habit. What you do during summer is a habit. And a habit is a repeated behavior. What does that mean? It means it's happening whether you're aware or aware of it or not. And on a subconscious level. Yep, brought the old sub back into this one. Fucker always makes an appearance somewhere these days, don't it? So, if it's a behavior, if it's a habit, a repeated action formed and delivered through subconscious thought, then everything you're doing is stemming. Jeez, I can't even speak today. Stemming from a belief system. To change your habit, your behavior, you have to change the belief. You know, the belief that summer is days out, the ice cream, the wine spritzers for the boys and the half pints for the ladies, the barbecues, the taps off and the titties out. Who really wants to diet and train during summer? Satanists. Can only be Satanists, really. Having no motivation is seasonal. Basically, it's going to be a year-round kind of gig. I caught myself saying lately, you know, of no motivation. And what I really mean is that I realized I was just making fucking excuses. Okay, yeah, I'm starting this podcast a little off in the offensive side with an attack on myself. But, you know, self-reflection, all that. And I love football, and there's a saying in football that attack is the best form of defense. So let's attack you, Paul, you motherfucker. So if you're saying you've no motivation or can't find the motivation, then you're on the attack from a defensive point of view. Attacking motivation like it's an outside thing, when really, and this shouldn't be a surprise to you, if you've been listening to me for a while, everything is inside. Even the outside is formed inside. Take your time with that statement. I'm going to pause. I'm going to repeat some reflection there so you can make sure you're hammered at home to yourself. Everything is inside. Even the outside is formed inside. Dramatic pause for effect. We all have motivation, Buttercup. It's not motivation you're missing. A lot of the times, you know, we talk ourselves out of doing things by what we believe to be true about ourselves. There's negative self-talk. There's negative stories. There's repeated stories, repeated narratives. Carrying those things around with you like a piece of dog shit stuck to your shoe and wondering what the stench is. It's what you're carrying with you that's the problem. It's not the fact, you know, you stepped in it momentarily. It's that you didn't stop to clean it off. Yes, dog poo and negative, unwanted self-talking stories. Same crap. Motivation, one of those stories. And I read stories all day long. See stories all day long. But really, you can't find the motivation. Please find a better excuse. You know, there's a common sentence I hear from a lot of women wanting to either lose weight or improve body confidence. And, you know, I say women because that's who I work with, if I haven't mentioned that 100 times before. So that's who I converse with most. Converse with. Sounds very official, doesn't it? Okay. I speak. Right. Does this, or maybe these statements, if I can come up one or two, fuck it, it'll probably just be just one, sound familiar, right? I always start well, with good intentions, but I never see it through, Paul. Something wrong. And you can insert the thing or numerous things in your life that you start but never finish. Is that you? Have you said that? Do you say that? Stop right now. More dramatic pauses. I should have had some background music for this, but okay. Stop right now. Have a look around your room. Have a look around your house. Have a look around your office. If there's lots of little things that need finished, then you've started probably well, probably with good intentions, but not finished. So let me repeat that to see if you see where this little segment is going. There's lots of examples in your life where you've started something, but not finished it. Repeated places showing up in your life where you start, but don't finish. Although you know what you have completed, you ain't getting a round of applause for it though. You've completed a habit. You've completed a habit of starting but not finishing. Yes, we are back to the old mindset, subconscious shit again. Twice already in this episode so far. I'm pretty proud of that. Basically every episode, darling. Okay, mindset, set mind. How do you change your mindset? And no, not conversion therapy. Well, obviously, you know, you just got to fill your day reading motivational quotes from people either saying that everything starts in your mind, or maybe you see motivational quotes from people telling you that mindset is the key to change. Mindset isn't the key to fucking change. The key isn't much use unless it fits in the door. Mindset is the door. The door is locked. It's shut. It's closed. It won't open. Set. Mindset can't be the key if mindset is the door. Okay, this is my analogy. I don't know if you fucking get it or not, but mindset is a habit. Your mind is fixed on operating a certain way. So if mindset isn't the key, then what is it? I've said it's the door, all right? But if mindset isn't the key, then what is the key? And no, it's not motivation, because I've already said this, I'm sure 100 times before, motivation comes and goes. You don't want a key that works some days, not the next day, do you? I mean, that's not exactly practical, helpful, useful. In fact, it'd be rather annoying. So what is the key? Look, Obviously, this is opinion. My opinion. And it's my belief that when it comes to mindset, that probably purpose is the key. Purpose. P-U-R-P-O-S-E. Purpose. Purpose. Purpose is the key to unlock the door of mindset issues. And mindset issues are what's causing you to make repeated unwanted actions, leading to things, sitting half-assed, half-finished, half-started in lots of areas of your life. And that includes your health. That includes your fitness. That includes your body shape. That includes your body confidence. I bet if it was your favorite bottle of wine, yeah, favorite beer, favorite TV show, your favorite takeaway, or the bar chocolate, it's not going to be sitting there half started, half finished. That baby going to be gone, mama. Purpose is your reason for making that choice in the first place. Why? Why? Oh, why? The reason. Raison d'être, as they might say in France. I think that's about the best French accent that I could do using a couple of words. The bigger the reason, the bigger the need. The higher the pain, the more motivation you're going to have to see it through. And I know from experience, you guys aren't. This is just continuing. I need to go back and do fucking English today or something. But I know from experience that you guys aren't out there looking for help with your health and fitness, dropping a dress size, getting into those sexy undies, lads, as a way to prevent future pain. You're already in the pain and you're reacting to it. That's what you're looking to do as a reaction to the pain, not as prevention. You're looking for the solution to ease the pain. People don't want prevention. People aren't buying prevention. People want a cure. My job isn't really to prevent anything. I'm a firefighter for your health. Yeah, you know, I'd love to be able to do that, and maybe that's what these podcasts might help a little bit with. Jeez, I haven't even had a beer yet. But, you know, I'm your firefighter for your health, physical or mental, whatever. I'm here to put out the fires. I'm here to help you own your shit, let go of it, and step into the person you want to be. Talk about letting go. I'm letting go of my Facebook profile and page, like, literally this week. Wiping everything out, starting fresh. You see, there's no point in really giving anything a shot if you're just going to quit, is there? What's the point? It's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy, and a lot of the time it's going to be a waste of money. I mean, you're maybe a toe dipper and say something like, I'll start this anyway, see what happens. Sure. What a half-assed attitude that is right there. I'll see what happens. I'll give it a go. Give me a break. You and I both know that if you start anything with that attitude, the next thing, even in a few days or a couple of weeks at a push, come the words, told you, this is me all over, every time. I'm just destined to quit. I never finish up anything. This always happens. I see this happen so much myself. When people get off their flyer in anything that they do, they maybe get it too good at the start. Too good, is that a thing? I don't know. Let's take weight loss, for example. Maybe you get 10 pounds off in your first week or two. Now, that's a lot, unless you need to be dropping 10 stone. So if you do really well 1 week and nothing really happens the next week, or you don't live up to even half of that first week or nothing at all, you quit. The moment you don't live up to that, you don't feel worthy anymore. And if you don't feel worthy anymore, why would you continue? This is a motivation problem right here. Not feeling like you're worth it is a surefire way to kill motivation. Just told yourself, I'm not worth it. Is that true? Are you not worth it? So rather than focusing on weight loss, the inches, the fitness, maybe what we should really be doing is helping you see your worth. What would believing in your worth allow you to do? Said it earlier on, motivation comes and goes. It's fleeting. It's finite. What does that mean? It's the opposite of infinite. And if you're a woman going through or going to experience, you know, you're going to get this even more because of your menstrual cycle. And guys too, look, I know. I said something the other week about a menstrual cycle. That exists. There's going to be 1 week in the month when you're flying and up for things. I'm really talking to the women here because that's proven, okay? Being creative. Then you've like this peak week, all right? Peak week, where everything clicks. Oh, you're on top of the mountain. All things go. The only thing is, when you get to the top of a mountain, you're going to come back down at some point. And that's exactly what happens. And it generally correlates with your menstrual cycle and as you head towards your period. Or if you're in menopause, you might not get a period, but you will still be in a cycle, in a season. You see, like I said, I'm like that too. The menstrual cycle. Not having a period, obviously, but I'm definitely in and out of cycles. I can see it in my energy, in my mood, in my productivity, and my motivation. Forcing it, though, well, for me, that's like trying to pedal your bike but holding on to the brakes. And that's okay for skids in the dirt, but not much use to get away from your bad habits. Cue the Ed Sheeran song that I don't have the rights to, so I can't play it. Anyway, what everyone thinks are the important factors when it comes to changing their body shape and how they feel about themselves is exercise and food, right? And don't get me wrong, they're important. But one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make is that they don't focus on changing how they think about themselves. Not how they look in the mirror, how they look in their head, how they feel in their head. And I use an example a lot. Why do I use it? Because it's a good one. And repetition is the mother of all learning, my friend, isn't it? Okay, take the 1 year weight loss plan, for example. If I said I could show you how to lose 2 pounds per week, you'd probably not be too interested. If I said I could show you how to lose 100 pounds in 12 months, probably perk up a bit. 2 pounds per week, basically 100 pounds in a year. All right, 100 pounds in 12 months. Reframe. And if you lost 100 pounds in a year, you'd probably be very happy with that. Unless you only weighed like 140 pounds to start with, and then we might need some serious medical intervention. But hopefully you get my case in point as an example. But if you lost 10 pounds in your first week and nothing in the next three, how would you feel? And maybe you lost, I don't know, 5 pounds in your fifth week, so week five, if you'd kept going. But then again, there was nothing for the next 3 weeks. How would you feel? I'd imagine by that point, most people will quit. Yet when I look at it, I'm thinking, okay, let's look at the big picture here. Good weight loss at the start, a few weeks of shit all, another few pounds off, a few weeks of shit all. What does this add up to? This adds up to 15 pounds in 8 weeks. Just a smidgen, under 2 pounds per week. On average there, Betsy. And I'd be okay with those apples. All right. What if it's not that you need to see quick losses in the scales, but maybe it's that you need to understand slow losses in anything? When you attach and rely on the scales each week to determine your success, you rely on the scales to show you success. So no loss in the scales means you failed and not a success, i.e. you're a failure. Every week I'm trying to help women shift their focus, not away from the scales, but away from their happiness being determined by the scales. I get the idea that some people have about ditching the scales altogether. I get it. You know, throwing them out, hiding them, putting them in a cupboard. But you're just stepping on another piece of dog shit there and avoiding the real issue. It's the conversation in your head about the scales and what they mean rather than the scales themselves. Apply this to anything in your life that you're avoiding. All right? Same shit. Don't let the scales be the cause of happiness or equally unhappiness in your life. Just allow them to be part of it. Part of your flow. What does that mean? It means don't let the scales control you. Take control first. See them. See the number. Let it go. Good or bad. Let it go. If you don't take control and ownership, that's when you're likely to go into the whole motivation excuse cycle of no motivation. It's like a fucking blanket statement then, of no motivation. Blanket statement, blanket affirmation that you aren't motivated to do anything. Of just no motivation. What? To breathe? To eat? To move? To get jiggy? To talk? Of no motivation. You've no motivation to do what? Get fucking specific. What do you want to do? And I mean do. Like, do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go to the gym? Do you want to train at home? It's easier to pick one area you want to motivate yourself in and start to work on it. So if it's a walk, do one thing. I said this before, go and put your trainers on. Done. Now decide what time you're going to go out. Done. Do one more thing. Set an alarm. Done. Next bit's crucial. Decide when the alarm sounds, you're going to get up and walk out the door. That's the decision time. That's the big one. When you walk outside, you've really only one more step to take there, and that's your destination. Once you've set that, just walk there. Come back home. You know, it's the end of the street. Mission accomplished. Goal achieving. Simple. Same for a workout. Same for prepping food. Same for cleaning your dog shit covered shoes. Motivation requires purpose, like having a goal or a project. Now your goal or project or aim, whatever you want to parcel it up as, could be to bring pleasure or avoid pain. How you start doesn't matter right now, but what you do next does. You see, I've seen so many people make the mistake of thinking they can just want something. Trying to apply some law of attraction or the secret techniques to their desired body confidence, to their dress size, weight loss, and so on. And I get it. And I've done episodes on the LOA, the law of attraction. And I believe in that law of attraction. But that ain't not getting you what you want. Why? Only one part of attracting what you want is the thing or wanting. All right? You've got to be open to receiving. It's another part of it. Like, why does your letterbox have a flap? So you can get the post in, dummy. You got to allow the space for solutions to come into your life. And I think this is where people get kind of lost. They, you know, if they're following that kind of stuff, they're expecting this light bulb moment to go off. They're expecting some form of magic to just suddenly change. When really, if we're talking about, for example, body confidence or dress size change or scale weight drops, you maybe need to use your imagination a little. You know, sometimes, like I said, we start really well, then fall away. Motivation can be high at the start. Yeah, I'm ready. I need this. I'm going to make the effort this time. Going to that seminar with the motivational speaker, you are pumped. Not pump. It lasts all day. It's a pump in your head. Maybe even into the next day. But then there's a slide. There's a slip. You might start to question yourself or the goal or the project. The details of it could change. And when that changes, so do your thoughts. But instead of going back to how you became motivated in the first place, you press ahead with the new thoughts. And they're not operating at the same level that they were before. The problem being is that the initial goal has an underlying reason that's not deep enough or detailed enough to give a real purpose. That drive and desire, motivation is fluid. It's finite. It comes and goes, up and down, even on a daily basis. So stop relying on motivation to get the job done. Find your purpose for doing the thing, your reason. I like to know a client's reasons for wanting support. That way, it's actually a lot easier to do the whole motivation thing. Okay? When I know the reason, it's easier to motivate. Until next time, funny face, see you then.
Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. If you're someone who enjoys seeing other people grow, then please share this podcast with your friends and family. If you found help through my voice and message, then I'm sure that they will too. So please share it on social media, share it via text, WhatsApp, and your DMs. Be present, challenge your own beliefs, trust the process, take action, be the community. So please, for every episode I share with you, I'd love you to share that podcast directly with someone else. And if you have questions, I'm there to help too. You can email me questions to paul@volumefitness.co.uk. I might even use your question for a future episode. And lastly, I do have one more request. And you only have to do this once, by the way. I want to reach and help more people, and you can help me with that. So if you can, please leave my podcast a fantastic review on iTunes. That way we can both help others gain strength and belief, all from the inside out. Thanks for listening.